What's going on, everybody? Welcome to I think we're gonna chill this week, Doc. This is still gonna be a pretty loaded episode, right?
Yeah, episode 99 O'Clock Radio Speakers, but we gotta catch up on everything we missed, because last week we had Wendy Day.
Yeah.
Week before that we had Lavoisier.
Yeah.
So
two amazing shows. Go to clockradiospeakers.com and check those out. But yeah, in the midst of that, I'll tell you this, like what Doc and I do, we usually just kind of comb, aside from us just kind of like, you know, keeping our ears to the streets.
We mostly go to
Rap Radar. We kind of say, all right, because Rap Radar is known to post the more notable topics that's going on in hip hop. And I'll tell you right now, I'm on page 27 and there's still stuff that we haven't talked about. So there's a lot to talk about this week. ClockRadioSpeakers.com is powered by Tumblr. So if you're on Tumblr, please follow us there. I need to get on Tumblr really, really bad. Follow us on Twitter at my Twitter is at Armand Wake Up, ArmondWakeUp, wakeup all one word. Official Twitter handle for Clock Radio Speakers is at CRS Podcast, all one word. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/clockradiospeakers, every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern, thepulse-radio.com. And Doc's here.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Follow me on Twitter at @Doc_beats, S not a Z. I think you got everything.
Yeah, I think we're good.
It's good to be back, man. You had a little vacation, a little time away. You still found time to call in for the good people.
Yeah. I was in Florida with my kids and their godparents, which are my best friend and his wife. We were just, you know, hitting them Orlando streets, man. Disney and the world's largest McDonald's. They had Belgian waffles there. I'm like, I'm not doing Belgian waffles at McDonald's. That's not gonna work. You know, but it was a good time. Great time. I needed that. I'm rejuvenized. I'm motivated. I'm rejuvenated.
Rejuvenized.
Rejuvenized. Yeah. Hashtag. I'm motivated, rejuvenated, and I'm ready to work, man. Sound like a rapper.
You grinding.
Yeah, son.
Yeah, you know, you were even adding stuff to Cairo's last minute while you're out there. I see what you're doing.
This
dude comes back and he's like, yeah, you know, I need to find space. There's no space on this album, but you know, Armand found space.
Found space. There is literally, on an 80-minute CD, this disc is 79 minutes and 58 seconds.
And I might be trying to actually take up some of that 2 seconds.
Yeah, and those plans. 2 seconds might even be like no joke.
I may have to find a CDR. Oh, I got a box over here still. I may have to test burn just to make. I may have to test burn just to make sure, that it actually works.
Yeah, definitely.
But Kairos is 2 weeks away.
Two weeks from today. It'll be 13. It'll be 13 days from when the show comes out. But we're recording on Tuesday. So yep. 2 weeks from 2 weeks from Tuesday. Yep, we're yeah.
And where can people go if they still haven't pre-ordered? Shame on them if they haven't pre-ordered.
Shame on you all. This is funneling right back into all the everything that we're doing. But you can go to thisiskairos.com, KAIROS, thisiskairos.com. You can pre-order, get t-shirts, you can get, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. And even if you pre-order the album, you'll get a hidden bonus track that will not be available after May 21st. And you'll actually get the album a couple of days early. You'll have that download link a tad bit earlier than everybody else. So, you know, if you plan on buying the album, it just makes sense to just go ahead and pre-order it.
I love it. It just makes sense.
Like, it does. It just makes sense. I don't get it. Like, it's, yeah. What more do you need? But, you know.
So, yeah, if people haven't heard it, they can go to ArmondWakeUp.com. You got three vlogs out now.
Yep.
They can hear the lead single, Genesis Revelations.
Yep. We're going to be leaking another record, possibly two more in the next week and a half. But yeah, we got the video coming. Genesis Revelation video is incredible. Just shot footage for another video that we're going to be dropping on a holiday that's coming up.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And a few other things that we're planning, man. And Kairos, yeah. You guys will be hearing about Kairos a whole lot. Yeah, Doc and I and everybody on the team has definitely been working, like not grinding, like not rapper grinding, like literally working. Our DMs look retarded. They look pathetic. They're just full of rapper slang and lingo. And hey, say, oh my, yeah, I finally used up my Dropbox. I am at, now mind you, I have 50 gigs because I got 50 with the Galaxy, and I am at 89.6% used. That's pathetic.
Yeah, I wish I could buy increments of storage from Dropbox, because I've got like 7 and change, and I gotta be like almost at the limit. Every time I do something new, it like pops up and like gets mad at me.
Yeah, it's really, Doc, really.
It's like, come
something
on.
Else. Yes. Okay, so we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. We can do self promo all day. That would be the rapper way. But instead,
But we will be doing some things, Clock Radio speakers related to Kairos, very, 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 very soon. So you'll be hearing a lot more about it. If you've never heard my music or Doc's production, you'll be forced.
I guess it's possible that somebody could be like a regular listener of the show and never heard that. But that just seems,
yeah, definitely.
All right. So what are we talking about this week, man? What's going on?
And a bunch of stuff. What's hot in these streets today?
We haven't talked at all about, well, so I believe, did we get a chance to talk about Ross getting dropped by Reebok? I think so.
Maybe. I think we did.
But we didn't get a chance to really talk about Mountain Dew. So they got two things going on. So they've got a relationship with Tyler.
Yeah.
And then they've had a relationship with Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
So the Lil Wayne one, I think we spoke about this briefly, right? In the Karate Chop remix, he's got a line about Emmett Till.
Yeah.
And, you know, they wanted apologies, didn't go far enough, and then ultimately Mountain Dew caved.
Yeah. Well, PepsiCo, which
well,
makes...
Well, yeah, PepsiCo, whatever. Which makes Mountain Dew. What was more interesting, I mean, that sort of felt a little predictable.
Yeah.
Right? And one thing I want to point out that sort of irritates me is I see a lot of people online who go, you know, so-and-so rapper never did this. I mean, so-and-so rapper said worse stuff and they didn't get, you know, they didn't get all this attention. We heard this a little bit with the Ross, you don't even know. Like, people, I think even Meek Mill would be like Eminem. Like, people compared it to, like, other stuff.
Yep.
The difference is rappers weren't chasing these commercial relationships as much.
Exactly.
Right? You want to go back in the day? Back in the day, they were doing St. Ides commercials. Right?
Absolutely.
You might get the Sprite commercial.
Oh, man. Oh, did you have to do the Sprite commercial?
Right? I mean,
considering one of my childhood heroes, you had to talk about the Sprite commercial?
I'm sorry.
Yo, but I was really hurt.
Crisscross,
we'll talk
man?
About that in a minute. Yeah
we'll talk about
like
that.
Like, that really hurt. That really hurt. But back to your point, this is a totally different monster compared to, you know, even the Sprite campaign was more, and we'll say this, because even in the early 90s, early to mid 90s, when those Sprite and St. Ives commercials, they were very targeted. And hip hop itself was very targeted, as opposed to now, where hip hop is a totally different monster. It's a totally different culture. So everybody's going to get exposed to it. You can, it's not, you know, as Doc likes to say, inside baseball, where just a certain group of people are going to get it. Hip hop now is obviously way more universal than a lot of us would like to admit.
Yeah, ironically, because if you look at that by record sales, it wouldn't make sense, because hip hop sold more in the late 90s than it does now. But ironically, because hip hop doesn't sell as much now, artists have to sort of pursue these, I guess I would say they pursue fame and then situations where they can profit off of the fame that aren't necessarily music. And that means commercials. It means, you know, clothing lines. It means other sorts of things. But when you do that, now all of a sudden, you've got more people who are watching what you're saying.
Right.
Right. Because record labels a long time ago did the math and they figured out how much controversy they were willing to tolerate for record sales. Right. Yep. Time Warner did it in the mid 90s with Death Row. There's a certain amount of controversy, but that's record sales, right? That's, you know, grossing $10 a disc back to the record company. There's like, for those like mid to late 90s albums, like there was a lot of money rolling in, and that quantity of money can really make a big conglomerate go, eh, I don't really care if somebody's mad about this.
Right.
But when you're talking endorsements, that's different. It's one thing to be a record label, because you can sort of go, hey, that's his art. Right. I signed him or her for their art. and maybe it's controversial, but it's art. And that's sort of thrown out there. But yeah. when it's this person is representing my brand, now we're in a different realm altogether.
Right. Absolutely.
So you had Lil Wayne and Mountain Dew. Did that surprise you at all?
It was weird only because initially when Emmett Till's family came out and spoke on Wayne's lyrics, that was a while ago. That was like, I want to say almost like 2 months ago where they had said something and then it died down and then they came back out like we want an apology or Wayne apologized. It was weird. Like it showed up, it disappeared and then it came back and now it's like a thing. So, but you know, even with that being said, no, not really. Not really. But I, on the flip side of that, like you kind of got to realize you got to look at what you're investing in. Like, how many offensive things has Wayne said in his music over the last 15 years? Like, it's True. Not going to stop because, and Wayne has blatantly displayed a I don't care attitude. You know, I mean, that was the freaking campaign. Do what you want to do, right? So you created the monster. You allowed the monster to roam in the backyard and it decided to hop over the fence.
I guess. So, I mean, I guess, but. Clearly, there are certain types of controversies that companies are willing to tolerate. I would say if you're dealing with an ism, and what I mean by that is specifically sexism or racism, anything involving or even just you, if it's going to if you think it might offend a race or a gender or mm-hmm. anything like that, companies are not going to touch that for better or for worse, whatever you believe or don't believe. They're not going to touch that right now.
I'll agree with that.
So the other thing for Mountain Dew, which is kind of interesting, is I guess I didn't even realize they had a relationship with Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler has actually been directing their Mountain Dew commercials, not just hawking their product, but actually he has a hand in the presentation.
Yeah, that's really interesting to me.
Yeah, very much so.
So he had a commercial which he thought was sort of funny. It was directed by him. People thought it was racist. So they pulled it.
And that was weird. Have you seen the ads?
Yeah.
Did they come across racist to you?
They came across as like sophomoric.
Define sophomoric, like sophomore in high school?
Sophomoric meaning like juvenile. How about that?
Okay.
But that's Tyler's shtick.
Right.
That's the whole reason they signed him, right? Because he's goofy and he's a little weird and he's kind of alternative and whatever.
Juvenile like kitty or juvenile like... taking over for the 99 in the 2000. Sorry.
It's all good. Actually, wait, speaking of, you had to bring that up. We forgot to talk about this before we started recording. Something to think about bringing the big timers back.
Yeah. And Drake is going to be on the album by being on it. He means right for both. I don't want Manny Fresh. First off, I don't want a big timers. Actually, you know what? A big timers album might be, there might be some ignorance, some coonery that I would partake in 2013, but I don't know if I want Drake writing that. And I don't want this Birdman, like the Birdman that, and we'll talk about this a little later, like on the Bugatti remix. But this 2012, 2013 Birdman really thinks he can rap, as opposed to the early get your roll on, still fly Birdman that was a game spitter. I'll take that all day.
So for the people who don't know, could you define a game spitter?
I can't describe. It is indescribable. It's, you know, it's. I guess it's more so of the the lifestyle. I guess I don't know, man. It's just some sort of excuse. So when people said, you know, oh, you can't rap, and they said, yeah, I know, you know, that there was no backlash. Like this was pre I'm not a rapper, where you actually had to like claim that you were a rapper, even if you sucked.
Well, so if Complex Magazine is doing top 10 game spitters, who's that list?
Oh, my God.
Putting you on the spot. Right
now. You are putting me on the spot. I don't know.
Puff?
Yeah, Puff. I mean, I don't even think there's 10.
All right.
There's Puff, Jay. I mean, it's just the upper echelon. It's Puff, Jay, Baby, Birdman. I don't know.
All right.
T.I. when he talks, not when he raps.
Okay.
When he uses big words and then like over enunciates each syllable. That is the greatest thing ever. I don't know. I don't even know if there's 10, though. I really don't. If you notice, there's not really a whole lot of like bougie rap going on right now. Even other than, you know, your Jays and your Kanyes and all that. Like that.
What do you mean by bougie rap? Like, is this like the luxury rap, Watch the Throne?
Yeah, luxury rap. Yes. I don't even think Ross does luxury rap anymore.
Did you hear the John Legend?
I did. And it reminded me of like the R&B version of not Super High.
Devil in a Blue Dress?
No, not Devil in a Blue Dress.
That's what his flow reminds me of.
It reminded me of that, like that pocket that John Legend and Ross have been in. Magnificent
kind of.
Sweet Life and it's in their wheelhouse. Not to say that's a bad thing, but it's definitely in their wheelhouse. It was cool.
I like Ross's verse on there. That's the Ross I miss. Not this, yeah. Box Chevy. How does this have a video, but he's still dropping videos off the album?
Because he put out the video for Ice Cold about 2 weeks ago. I don't know, man. That's a really good question. I mean, he's really trying to force this Box Chevy record. And I think everybody is tired of the BMF formula. Because you think about it, he's been riding this formula
consistently for about
4 years. If Ross went back to deeper than rap Teflon Don, what did you always call it? Would you call it?
Oh, I don't even know.
It wasn't mafioso rap, but whatever you called it, like the lush sounds that Ross used. If Ross goes back to that, I think he's good.
Nah, he needs. I don't necessarily think I want that either. Like, I'd like to hear something different.
Does he have anything different? Have you seen any signs? Oh, you know what? Let me not box Ross in. I'll curve my statement.
I would love it if he hired the producers that Rocky Fresh works with. It sort of went a little different.
You really like this this Rocky Fresh kid. Yeah, he's growing on you.
The problem with Rocky Fresh is really just that he's not what I would call a particularly charismatic rapper.
Right. No.
But he's got a great ear for beats. He has a knack for making songs without that charisma on the mic. And, you know, for all of Ross's faults, when he wants, he can do that.
Yeah.
Right. So more importantly, Rocky, at least in terms of MMG, is the only one out here doing something really different. You know, Wale kind of does a little different, but Wale has sort of like, you know, kind of what you're getting with Wale.
Yeah.
With Rocky, I still feel like we haven't really heard like everything yet.
Nah, nothing definitive just yet.
He just put out another mixtape called Birthday Tape, which I don't understand at all.
Rapper move.
They just put out a big mixtape for him like 3 months ago, 4 months ago. Like, that actually had a lot of like songs that they could have pushed, you know, a little single, like stuff with actual like appeal that if they really wanted to push, you know. And now they got this, which is kind of weird. Like, this is the kind of tape that you would drop to get people noticing you after a long layoff, to be like, hey, I'm going to drop an album in like 4 months.
Yeah.
Right. And then, so this is the sort of tape where, and then you like would test a lead single, kind of like what Ross did before Teflon Don. Right.
Yeah.
Where he had the little EP and then, you know, you sort of say what's going to be a single off this, but I don't know what to do with Rocky Fresh. Like, the beats on this Birthday Tape, I don't think there's a bad song on here at all. And there's a couple ones. Actually, the song with Ross is really good. Rolling with Gunplay is good.
Rolling?
Yeah. Not the song you're thinking of.
I was like, hey, buddy.
But, yeah, you know, it's funny. Like, he's the kind of guy that if he would have signed, like, with Kanye would have just jacked half his whole style, totally taken his producers and shoved him on the B team for good music. For right. Better or for worse. Instead, yeah. Ross is gonna let him do his own thing, but he's sort of floundering out there. I don't know which one's better.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what MMG as a whole is doing. You know, today Dream Chasers 3 was supposed to come out.
Yeah, what happened with that?
He doesn't have a single or anything. You know, Stolly's single stalled.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because I like that record. But it was too regional. It was too, again, inside baseball. You know, Wale's working on an album. Wale's obviously working on an album, but, you know, I've said on this show multiple times that Wale is doing a lot of things right with his MMG position. And then there's everybody else. Gunplay keeps getting arrested. Like, is this like the beginning of the end? Is this the Spider-Loke, Olivia, Mobb Deep era? Is this the Samantha Ronson era for MMG?
Samantha Ronson. Oh, man. You would, judging by what Ross is pushing for Box Chevy, you know, that's supposed to be a single. Like, you could, I don't think it's difficult to look at this and sort of argue he's peaked. Right?
Totally.
I don't know what they're doing with Meek Mill. Meek Mill is a really weird artist to me just because I'm not what I would call a huge Meek Mill fan.
Right.
He's very one-dimensional.
Extremely one-dimensional.
Right. For all of Ross's faults. That, yeah, he keeps pushing these Box Chevy type songs, but he can also do other types of songs.
Who is that, Ross or Meek?
Ross. Like, Meek. Okay.
Meek can only do Ja Lil Beats type records. When he tries to do, like, the storytelling, and, I mean, people like the Tony stories and stuff, but I don't. Nah, I'm good. But he does those faster tempo, high energy, he does those records well.
You know what the problem with those Meek records and those stereotypical MMG records are? Is that there's no dynamic to the song. What I mean by
define
that is
dynamic.
A great example of dynamic is Bugatti, right? Where the beat will sort of get quiet and the song gets sort of quiet before exploding.
Builds up.
So you build up and you get that sort of energy. If you have a song that's just loud and like over and over again, not only can that be sort of irritating, but there's just no mood. It's not what you would say dynamic, right? It doesn't feel like it's living, like it's breathing. Yep. You know, it's just sort of nonstop. You know, Mike Will is probably the best at this right now.
Yeah.
He has sort of done the best job at adapting, you know, this sort of what started off as like a Lex Luger 2.0 sound, but has really morphed beyond that.
Yeah. It's become, he's added a lot of melodies to it, and he's kind of hybrided. He's kind of been a hybrid. Jesus,
hybrided
words. He's kind of been a hybrid of what Lex Luger was doing, and I hear a lot of Hit-Boy in his stuff too.
And of course with the filter, you gotta point to Drake as influence.
Of course, 40.
Yeah, yep. 40 and Drake. That's really fun, actually. So speaking of Bugatti,
yeah,
we got the Bugatti remix out right now.
Of course. DJ Khaled had a song, a hit record, and he didn't put out a remix? He had to.
How do you feel about the Bugatti remix?
You know what? I'm not mad at it. I like T.I. on it. Speaking of Meek Mill switched his flow. I think, you know what? I'm going to say this, and I thought about it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I think Ace gets Meek Mill on these records to be like, hey, look low. And then Meek, like, he's like, crap, I got to do something different before they find me out. So I've never heard Meek Mill rap like this ever. Like, his flow is totally in the pocket. And then even Ace, this is how Ace should have rapped on the original version. That's the first thing I said. There was things that you could sing along with. There were stops. There were, like, these are things that you have to take. Artist tip. These are things that you have to kind of take into consideration when you rap. If you just rapidy, 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 rap, 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 rapidy, rapidy, rap, you have no time for breath control. You have no time to engage the crowd. You're talking. It's like a conversation. You know how when you talk and you pause in between the things that you say to make sure that the other person that you're talking to gets what you're saying? That's how you should write your rhymes. You need to write. And not with the long, I mean, you can do the long YMCMB, Nicki Minaj pauses where she'll skip like 3/4 of the bar and then only say the word that's going to rhyme in the next line. I mean, you could do that, but I mean, just take a breath, take a breather. Like, don't talk
relax,
me to death.
Relax.
Yeah, relax. And Ace's verse on the original Bugatti was just, This was like, I just picked my child up from school and they're telling me about their entire day. And this remix was more along the lines of, all right, you know, it was a lot better. It was a lot better. But other than 2 Chainz has been kind of stinking it up lately. I think he needs to just take a break. I think he just needs to like go home and rest up, get some soup. And as I said earlier, you know, Birdman,
get that Campbell's money, you know.
Yeah, get that Campbell's money. And Birdman thinks that he can really rap. But everybody else was cool. Wiz was cool. T.I. was dope. Meek was dope. I feel like I'm missing one other person.
Future? No, I'm just kidding. French.
Yeah, I wasn't. I got French. So who's trending worldwide on Twitter as we speak? Because his baby mother is calling him a deadbeat.
Not because he dropped a video today.
Nah.
All right.
And yeah, I just saw a really good point. Jeezy should have been on this Bugatti remix. How do you feel about this Bugatti remix? Because I want to talk about Jeezy for a second, but how do you feel about the Bugatti remix?
I feel the lineup sort of sells the song short. And what I mean by that is this is the kind of lineup that, you know, I would expect any like sort of regional hit to get, or maybe even a little bit bigger than regional. But Bugatti is actually a pretty good size hit for Ace Hood.
Yes, it is.
I feel like this is...
His album doesn't come out until July.
That is what's killing me. July. So this song has totally run its course.
Yes.
Oh, man, that is tough.
Yeah. He should be dropping... He should, at the latest, be dropping May 21st.
At the latest. He should drop today.
Yeah, he should have been out like 2 weeks ago.
Well, yeah. Got to ride that. You know, it's kind of the same. You know, it's like with French and Pop That.
Yeah.
Right. Although, you know, on Pop That, obviously the artists on the original were obviously obscenely famous. But no, I sort of felt like the, you know, for a song like that, I sort of would have, I wish they would have brought out maybe like the A Squad.
Yeah.
Like, you know, where's Drake? Where's Ross? Like, you know, if Khaled's got the, you know, he's got the iPhone open or the Android. He's scrolling through his contacts. Like, go up, you know, call those people up for this level of a song.
Hey, Ja Rule just got out of jail today.
I saw that.
Who's going to be the first artist to put Ja Rule on their record? Like, right now?
Papoose.
No, for real though, Ja Rule can get on a record right now on a remix and it'll make noise. It'll make a little bit of noise. And it won't make like... Ha ha, funny noise. Like, it'll be like.
I hope he goes in the studio and says, I need that Future setting.
No. No. I want him to rap. I want a story to tell. But I want a little bit of pause, put it on me. Like the early Singy Ja, not Mesmerize.
you just did that Freeway early, by the way.
Early. We were listening to both of those Rockefeller. That was my rant on Twitter the other day. We were listening to both of those Rockefeller Hot 97 freestyle sessions. The original classic one with everybody. And then the other one with just State Property. And Beanie was dissing, you know, Beanie dissed Nas and Jade over Special Delivery. And Freeway was hyperventilating while he was running. All that stuff. Yeah. Good times.
Good times, man.
Very good times. Yeah, every after every verse, holla at me, Hove, holla. Like, yo, they ran that holla thing into the ground. And who put out a song called Holla?
Memphis Bleek. The song was awful.
I've never heard that song all the way through.
Are you serious?
Never heard it all the way through. Nope. It gets on my nerves. Yeah. But anyway, you know, I wanted to talk about Jeezy just real quick. You know, the RIP record, has that grown on you or you still don't like it?
I just don't like DJ Mustard sound.
Gotcha.
I mean, maybe it's because I'm not in the clubs. Like, I don't. That's not my world anymore. So, no, really. Like, I don't know. Like, I could see that.
It's grown on me. The remix actually did it for me. The first one with him, Kendrick, T.I., and I think Chris Brown or whatever. That did it for me. And I'm starting to hear he was on the Show Out remix. Like. He was on the We Still In This remix with B.O.B. Like, Jeezy and T.I. killing these remix records.
Yeah, that feels like small potatoes to me for these guys. What happened to T.I. and that Guns N' Roses joint?
Great question. I don't know. But what should Jeezy be doing right now?
Trying to find out how much it's going to cost to get like 8 Mike Will tracks. That's what Jeezy should be doing. He should also be trying to figure out what happened to Shorty Red. And Jeezy's interesting because there's really, I guess, sort of three directions he could go. He could try to go pop. And what I mean by pop isn't like, you know, pop how we used to define it in the late 90s, right? I'm not saying shiny suit Jeezy, right? But what I'm saying is to sort of aspire to where maybe T.I. was going in like 2008, right? He could try to make that leap. I don't know if he could. He could play in the lane he's playing in right now, which sort of seems to be like he's vying to be king of Atlanta, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Or he could sort of go back to his roots a little bit. Right? On the most recent Jeezy stuff that we heard, was it F the World?
Yeah, no, that It's the World makes
sense. It's the World. Yeah. That just sounded like everything else. Like, Jeezy made a name for himself because he had a sound.
Right. And then instead of when he, because he was poised to break out around the time of Blueprint 3. That was that Inspiration time?
Yeah, 2008.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it was him, Jay, and Trey Songz. They were on that Blueprint 3 tour. And that was the thing. Like it was TM-103 was supposed to be out around that time. Like he was really supposed to put out that record. Mm. And I think Jeezy's one of those artists who's just so focused on the streets and the hood. Like he doesn't even think about anything beyond that. Cause he should have been a household name.
And that, you know, that's fine. But, you know, because when Jeezy came out, really his first two records and even his third record, like he sounded different, right?
What's his third record?
The Recession.
That's not the... Okay, that's what I was thinking of. Not the the Inspiration was 102, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm thinking of the Recession. My bad.
You know, his first three records, they were different, he had a whole sort of well-rounded, like he was a different kind of artist. And I feel like somewhere in the middle, like somewhere between now and then, he's just sort of evolved to Jeezy over stuff that I could hear a bunch of people on. Yeah, he sort of lost what was unique about him. And part of that is because, you know, the sound of what's hot evolves, but all right, so go find the next thing.
Right. Do you think the Recession was better than 101?
I think 101 is really overrated.
I think so too.
I love Trap or Die.
And
I love the Recession.
Recession was really good.
The Recession's really good.
Really, really good.
Probably one of the better records from that year.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
I mean, man, Put On.
I mean, Who Dat?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, yeah, you're right. He needs to find Shorty Red like now,
or the next Shorty, or something different.
Nah, because remember that tape that him and Shorty Red did before Shorty Red went to jail, that had Amen on it.
Yeah,
that tape had some joints, but that was at the time where Jeezy was like, where Ross was blowing up, and Jeezy was looking desperate. He was putting out a whole bunch of mixtapes. And TM-103 wasn't getting a release date. Mm. So it was like cool to slander Jeezy. But I think a lot of people slept on that because of that. That makes it have some joints. So bring him back. I mean, nobody's... Shorty Red has you know, done some things with his sound. I would hope so. He's a free man. He beat his case. So, you know, I'm hoping he's just sitting around making a bunch of beats waiting on Jeezy to call him. I would hope so. Or he's texting them every month, every other week.
Hey, you know what? I mean, sometimes people, you just don't have it anymore.
That's true.
It happens.
That's true.
So we talked about this briefly, but we forgot to come back to it. We didn't really get into Criss Cross.
Yeah.
You want to talk about this?
No.
Okay. We don't have to talk about it.
No. Listen, man. Crisscross, Mac Daddy specific, and Mac Daddy's, I did warm it up in my third grade talent show. I was the Mac Daddy because I was darker, and my friend Michael was Daddy Mac because he was light skinned. We had the backwards. I had the backwards overalls with the Bugs Bunny and Taz shirt.
Ooh.
with the starter with the San Francisco Giants pinstripe starter hat with the tag still on. Like, yo, like that, like Crisscross is one of the reasons why I do what I do today. So to hear, and you know, when they did this, I really wanted to go to that So Def concert. I watched it on YouTube, and I haven't had that much fun watching a concert on YouTube. It really felt like I was there. It was a really good show.
Yeah.
And to see Crisscross come out, you know, after aside from the 5 minutes after they ran out and they expended all the energy and they were exhausted, like in meeting, they had like a 15-minute set and they just spent the other 10 minutes trying to get their breath back. I was really happy to see Jermaine cut them a check and give them some shine. You know, I don't need new music. I don't need any of that, you know. But, you know, 34. Like, that's tough, man.
Yeah.
34. That's tough. And so that hurt. That really bothered me.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say.
All right. I think that's good. We can leave it at that. But actually, one thing I want to say, like, in True Clock Radio Speakers fashion, I went back and listened to some of those old Crisscross records, now with a different ear, right?
Yeah.
How much money did Jermaine spend on clearing samples?
Oh, my God.
I mean Jump Alone.
Yeah.
There's three of the most famous samples.
Yeah.
In that song.
Yeah.
Right? The most famous synth line.
Yeah.
One of the most famous drum breaks.
Yep.
And a Jackson 5 record.
And a Jackson 5 record.
And I'm sure there's probably other samples in there. I just listened real quick. Like, my goodness.
Yeah. I bet Jermaine still made money off that, though.
I'm sure he did. I don't know how. Like, I don't think you can make that record today.
Not at all.
You would cost so much to clear.
Not at all. They probably, the good thing about it is they probably cleared it on the front end. So they probably didn't spend as much money as they would have had they known that it was going to blow up like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, nobody was doing kid records back then. You know, it was like Another Bad Creation, you know.
You know what I need? I need a Spotify playlist that has, like, nothing but really great old West Coast-inspired synth lines.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Right.
Like,
right.
Even if it's something like, I mean, everything from Bout About It to the Death Row stuff.
Above the Law, Black Superman,
See, that'd be a great Spotify playlist.
Ice Cube, Ghetto Bird. Yeah, that would be really dope. Mad CJ Mac, Take a Ride. Oh, you bugging. You know, that's me. That's me all day.
That's why, you know, it's the alley-oop that, you know.
I was gonna make my early 90s Blue-Eyed Soul playlist after we got off, but I might have to switch. I might have to do a Kid Rap playlist, too. I need some illegal, some early Brat, the Youngsters.
Oh, I forgot about the young. Some Shaheem? You gonna throw some Shaheem in
there?
Oh,
of course, some Shaheem. Of course, of course, of course, of course.
Chiali?
I wasn't a real big Chiali fan. I'm not mad at him. It just really wasn't my speed.
Of course, you gonna throw some Bow Wow on there.
You know, it's funny. I did a So Def playlist after I watched that concert, and I threw more Bow Wow records on that playlist than I thought.
How? Wait.
He had some joints.
Like what?
He had some joints. He had some joints when he was like getting older.
No.
Yeah. No. He did. The record with Jagged Edge. Not Puppy Love. Not Puppy Love. He had My Baby with Jagged Edge. He had I like the joint with Sierra with the New Edition sample. Hey. No shame in my game, buddy.
Anyway.
There you go. All right. So what else are we talking about?
We'll see. We haven't really talked about
Jumanji?
Jehoshaphat? Let's talk about J. Cole a little later.
Okay.
We still got some random re.
Okay.
So it looks like Chick Don't Kill My Vibe is Kendrick's next single, huh?
Yeah.
They got a video, but looks like they're shooting a video.
Yep.
Looks like I'll tell you, so we've talked about this ad nauseum. I just want to talk about it one more time because, you know, it's my show. I can do what I want. my man Kendrick releases the most cinematic, storytelling-driven album in years, and proceeds to make videos that don't follow the story.
Absolutely.
Can anybody explain this to me?
Wow. That's true.
I almost think it's the sort of thing where, and you know, considering we're doing, you know, stuff for Kairos right now, we can relate. And what, you know, Wendy Day talks about this a little bit. If you didn't hear it, go listen to the last episode. Rappers get inside their own heads. Right. He's heard this story. He's had this story planned out for so long. He's probably sick of it.
Yep. I'm sure he is.
He's like, nah, I can do better. And it's like, actually, you could probably, like, to me, Backseat Freestyle is the biggest example of that.
Yep.
Like, that was set. Like, it was all right there.
Yep. I totally agree. He could have had, like, a reoccurring thing. He even could have had, there was a commercial for the Al kid riding in the van.
Yeah, see?
He could have used that same kid. It just could have played different parts of the story. It played itself.
I know.
It really did. He even could have did a Trapped in the Closet style. He could have got a deal with a young up and coming director who wouldn't have charged much. He could have got a deal with one of those, you know, I don't know, AMC, TMC. I don't know.
You might be the only person to ever confuse AMC with TMZ.
Whatever. I was thinking, not TMZ, like TMC, like Turner Movie Classics.
Kendrick Lamar on
Turner Movie Classics. He could have got Fuse. There's a few channels.
Actually,
he could have went straight to YouTube.
Could have gone straight to YouTube and monetized MTV. It that way. You could have done MTV. You could have reached back. I don't know how this would work now, but like you come back with the deluxe edition. Right.
That has like the short film on it.
That you bundle that with it and you pay extra.
Like Murder Was the Case?
Yeah. And not like what The Massacre had, where it was like awful videos. But
No. Yeah, it's like a blue screen and they just he just stood there and they just made a bunch of stuff happen behind him while the entire album played. That was horrible.
You could have turned it into a whole separate movie, almost like the Streets is Watching soundtrack, and threw a bunch of your TDE guys on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Right? You could. In other words, Kendrick, come hire me. I'm going to set you straight. We could fix this all right now. But, you know, Chick Don't Kill My Vibes, next single. Do you like that as a single choice?
Yeah, I'm not mad at it. I guess we should have saw it coming with the J remix. I'm not mad at it. I know you're a big fan of, you know, Money Trees being the next single.
That was the one song to me that was sort of the surprise breakout hit when the album came out. What I mean by breakout hit is everybody was like, oh, that's the song. Right? Like there were some songs when you listen to it the first time, you're like, all right, Poetic Justice is obviously going to be a single. Right? Like you could pick it. You could pick some of this out. And we sort of knew that. I would say Backseat Freestyle was the other one where people just latched onto it. But Money Trees, like I feel like people were immediately like, yeah, Money Trees. Yeah. Money Trees has that sort of warm weather feel.
And it would have did a lot for Jay. Well, it has done a lot for J-Rock, but it would have done more had they released it as. But they still got time to me.
That's right. You know, actually, maybe you're right. And the smart way to do this is you hold off on that until J-Rock has something he can sort of push along with that.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's going to happen though, because they TDE seems to be so focused on Q and Absol, that J-Rock is just there.
Mm.
I don't think the way that they move and they operate.
Money Trees remix.
Yeah, they could do a Money Trees remix. They could do a Money Trees remix. But to me, the way that TDE moves and operates, I don't see them not putting out anything from J-Rock. Mm-hmm. I don't see them saying, all right, well, these are our guys and you're just going to play the support role. Like, they really seem like a family more than the label, like a brotherhood, what have you. They seem to be so, I guess maybe what they're doing is, they've already got Q's obviously next. Soul is obviously after him. And then as they were doing with Kendrick, while Kendrick was out, they were slowly burning Q and Soul. That while Q is out, they'll slowly be burning Soul and J-Rock. And Kendrick can just be Grammy guy. Because, you know, I don't know if he's going to clean up, but he'll be at the Grammys next year.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Without question. And if he doesn't win at least one, I mean,
well, you know what the problem is.
What's that?
we talked about this when we did a Grammy episode, how the Grammy timeline works. He gets in right at the start of the Grammy timeline. So he'll be in the 2014 Grammys.
Right. So, but I don't think that's gonna kill him.
But if you because look at the artists album, that if you look at the artists that are the big, because the Grammys are all about big name artists.
Yep.
So we got Kanye with a record coming soon.
Yep.
That's gonna hurt. I think he'll get nominated and everything, but I feel again, we talked about this at length in the Grammy episode, but it's kind of weird that, you know, his album comes out in the fall when they have the Grammys in February, like, and they're talking about 2012, like, he's not included. Because at that time, like, if the Grammy timeline would have been shifted a little later, he would have had a real shot. Because if you look at the stuff that won, it was stuff off Watch the Throne.
That album had to win Grammys.
But that was another case where, like, talk about the edge of the cycle, but that worked because it was, you know, Kanye and Jay.
Absolutely. And they had hit records on there.
But
I mean, God, Otis won a Grammy. Like, come on.
No Church in the Wild won a Grammy?
Yeah. Well, I mean, come on. Come on. Oh, you know who else is going to clean up this
show? Ooh.
Macklemore.
Oh, yeah. Oh man.
I didn't even think about him. Oh, he's cleaning up.
White people love Macklemore.
Love him. Love him.
Let me tell you this much. White girls love Macklemore.
They do.
They love him.
Yeah. I didn't know that Ryan Lewis was from Spokane. That's where I was stationed at. That's hilarious.
Yeah, they're all from, like, both of them from Washington.
Yeah. I knew Macklemore was from Seattle, but I didn't know. Seattle and Spokane is like 4 hours away.
Yeah.
So that's, but I mean, in order for you to do anything in Spokane, you're probably going to have to make that drive.
Where's you going? Idaho? You're not going to Idaho. You're not going to Montana. You got to go the other way.
French? Montana? Boom. Psh, all right. But yeah. So yeah, these Grammys are going to be really interesting, but I think hopefully Kendrick, at least if he doesn't get a Grammy, I hope he gets a stage. Him and Macklemore get a stage.
He'll at least get nominated. I could definitely see Macklemore getting a stage. Yeah, they've Macklemore now got two legit big hits. Like, but his huge live show hits.
Sucks.
Macklemore?
Yes. I've never seen his stage show transcend live well. I saw him on MTV, didn't look right. Saw him on SNL, didn't look right. It's not, there's way too much going on.
Mm.
He's got a horn section up here, they're dancing. He's got the weird guy singing the hook, he's dancing all weird. Macklemore's jumping over here. Ryan Lewis is here. He's got a freaking marching band here. Like, there's way too much going on. And that's what you don't want to do. If you look at the old performances, your old performances that had a lot of stuff going on, I'll reference two people, James Brown, MC Hammer. Even though there was a lot going on, there was still a central focus.
Hmm.
The central focus was James Brown. The central focus was MC Hammer. You could look to the side and you could say, okay, they're doing a two-step over here. They're doing a two-step over here. Hey, look at that guy with the hair. Like, that stuff was going, but then you still saw James, you still saw Hammer. There's way too much going on with Macklemore shows. I hope that he kind of hones that in before he gets a big stage like the Grammys, because there's a lot of stage there, and if it's Macklemore that I've seen on television, he's going to want to utilize that entire stage, and you can do that without being all extra. So
So speaking of Kanye, he tweets out, what, June 18th or whatever?
June 18th, yep.
People are assuming that's an album release date.
It is not.
What is it?
It is a performance on Saturday Night Live.
Ah, that's the end of May, not the end of June.
I'm sorry. That's next week?
Yeah, he's gonna be on SNL in a couple weeks.
My bad. Nah, that can't be an album release date. That can't be that. Well, never mind. It's Kanye.
Anything's possible.
It's I know Elliot Wilson. I've never seen Elliot Wilson backtrack like that before.
Why? What did Elliot Wilson say?
Elliot Wilson, when he tweeted out June 18th, Elliot Wilson was like, "Boom! Album release date." You know, if you follow him on Twitter, he is a retweet whore, he is a self-promotion whore. He will tweet you links and all that stuff until, like, there's no tomorrow. And even when he's wrong, he might, you know, have a tweet about it, you know, my bad, da da da, a little clarification or whatever. Hell, like a Jay-Z line to clean it up or something. But in this case, he sent out several tweets, you know, June 18th is not a Kanye release date. My apology person, this person, da da da, nothing has been confirmed. Da, da, da. Like, he really makes sure he really made sure that he cleaned that up, which was really weird. So either, and you're right, now that I think about it, maybe he knows about it and he let the cat out the bag, and he assumed because Kanye tweeted about it, then it was cool to talk about.
Yeah.
And Kanye just wanted to kind of stay anonymous with it.
I think so, it could look, I mean, Kanye could be doing the Timberlake path. Sounds like the album's done.
It's definitely done. Peter Rosenberg.
Yeah.
He didn't hear the album, but he has friends at Def Jam who say that Kanye had a listening session at the label and that the album is dark and that it's done and that it's really good.
So, which all sounds, that's all good things.
I don't want a dark album from Kanye.
I don't. Why not?
Like I said, Kanye right now reminds me of the married guy who is never out of the house, is never three steps away from his wife.
Except all he is out of the house.
But he's always with freaking Kim.
He just spent how long in Paris recording this album?
I was like, she wasn't there?
Nah.
She wasn't there. She have the e-cameras there with him?
Nah.
With the cat. I'm sorry, I'd hang out with someone who watches that show.
You're lying. We're going to check your DVR.
And I have the whole season, son. And I got the bonus feature saved in my YouTube favorites.
You already pre-ordered on Amazon. Don't lie.
I did. I'm sorry. I did. I even like Chloe and Lamar. All of it. I just don't want to hear a dark album from Kanye.
That's what he's best at.
No, he's not. He's not. This is where we differ.
Yes,
we've talked about this at length because we've had the Kanye West retro.
Mm.
And I love Graduation.
Yeah, that Kanye is dead.
That pains me to say, and I really hope he comes back. I don't want to be pessimistic about that. But you love Dark Twisted Fantasy Kanye.
Yeah, it's the best Kanye album.
I love Good Friday Kanye. That Kanye album is dope.
It's not nearly as dope as Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Dark Twisted Fantasy is good. It's better than I gave it credit for, but
One of the best albums of the past 10 years.
You're bugging. It's not even the best Kanye album of the past 10 years.
By far the best Kanye album.
No way that album is better than Graduation.
You talking the same album that has Workout Plan. You talking the same album.
Graduation doesn't have Workout Plan.
Oh, I'm sorry,
Plan.
Graduation. I was thinking College Dropout. Graduation.
You're thinking of Drunken Hot Girls.
Yeah. Well, no.
Even you like that song.
Yeah, that song's not bad.
See?
No, I like Graduation. Graduation's a great album, but it's not Dark Twisted Fantasy.
No, way better. Nothing on Dark Twisted Fantasy messes with I Wonder, Can't Tell Me Nothing, or
You really like Flashing Lights. You really forgot like Devil in a Blue Dress.
That was cool.
We're done. We're done.
It was good. It was good.
It was good.
It was good until Ross got on it. The Ross part made it great. What else? What do we got?
It was
good. Dark Twisted
By the
Fantasy,
way, the original version of that, which was on Good Friday, was one of the best.
I don't even listen to it because it doesn't have Ross version.
It was one of the best Good Friday tracks.
No.
Unquestionably.
Not at all.
Not
at all. Looking for Trouble.
It's all, that's
the
all
Joy, great. You serious?
The Joy is okay.
Ah, oh, you're bugging. This episode. We're not even going to make it to episode 100.
I cut it off my version of Watch the Throne.
Ah, oh, you're bugging. Oh.
I was just listening to Watch the Throne the other day, actually. That's that album. My 1.5 has held up real strong.
I got to look and see if I have that in my in my thing. Because I played that album out, and then I haven't heard it in a long time. And I heard Otis the other day, and I was like, yo, Otis is tough.
You know what's tough?
I need to hear that album again.
Especially with, and it's warmer. You got to roll the windows down early in the morning, like driving to work, and you got to blast Who Gonna Stop Me Now.
I still don't like Who Gonna Stop Me. I never like Who Gonna Stop Me.
I don't even understand.
You know what song grew on me? Excellence.
Yeah, Excellence is
always
cool.
Liked Murder more than Excellence, but not Excellence is retarded.
Yeah, no, I like both of them. You know, I even like Welcome to the Jungle.
I like Welcome to the Jungle too. We're definitely in the minority on that, but I like that record too.
That's Jay my Cook. Chick.
Oh my, Jay's verse.
Yeah,
Jay destroys it. Yeah,
how I
yeah,
love I, you.
What's that?
How I love you.
Nah, not big. Nah, I love you. What's the other Illest MF Alive? Nah,
that Illest MF Alive is crazy.
Nah, I'm
crazy.
Good. I think it's because I when I think of that, I watch. I always have the documentary in my head, so I have awkwardly dancing to it, and it throws me off. He's like, "Hey, he said my name on the song." He did like Cool Dad.
So speaking of Watch the Throne, this is a great segue because we need to talk about this Great Gatsby soundtrack.
Okay.
Which is Great Gatsby. I need to see this movie because if this soundtrack's any indication, it's like the white person Watch the Throne. Like, it's all very dramatic and very like lush and very okay. Like, yeah. This is like luxury white people music, but like you know, dramatic. Like, so you got Jay's $100 bill, which you're not a fan of, right?
No, it was very, very ho-hum. I feel like this was like a part of me wants to say that this beat is like a Blueprint 3 throwaway. And the only reason why I think it's updated because he kind of has that Chief Keef stop stutter flow on this, which makes me believe that it's recent. But that beat just kind of feels dated to me. And I don't really like the song. It's all right. If I never hear it again, I'm good.
Did
you like it?
It's okay. It's growing on me.
Okay.
You got Andre and Beyonce with the Back to Black remake. That is weird.
Okay. I still need to hear that.
It's totally stripped down, and there's like 808s, and it's a whole different feel. But beyond that, there's some songs on the soundtrack. Like, you know, I'm a Lana Del Rey fan.
You are.
Young and Beautiful is dope. That's a real good Lana Del Rey song. I'm not a real big Jack White fan, but Love is Blind, this is crazy. That's the song they've been playing in the trailer.
Okay.
Let's see. Other good ones on it, we got Florence and the Machine with a song called Over the Love, which is really, really dope. Let's see. We got just a bunch of random. It looks like a Pitchfork like playlist exploded over this album.
That's right up Jay's alley.
Yeah.
Jay listens to that. Hey, I'm Jay-Z and I'm from Brooklyn, but I listen to the White Stripes.
Let me tell you, there's some real struggle on this. Like they remade Crazy in Love with like a 1920s like swing band.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
Who sang it?
You can make me play this whole on the track list, I mean. I was stupid and took notes, but I didn't. I didn't do complete. You know, listen, man, hold on.
That's funny.
Checklist review. Who sang that? Oh, I can never pronounce her name. Emily Sandy, the chick who sings that Emil, next to me.
Emil Sandy. Emil Sandy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awful. Let's see, what else is there? There's this just awful Will I Am song called Bang
No
Bang.
No way.
Yeah, funny, right?
No way.
We need to talk about the plot that ESPN and ABC are perpetuating on America.
Power. It's like, dude. This is just as bad as that Justin Bieber Busta Rhymes song that they played during the holidays. Like
The problem is it's almost the same song as that Britney Will I Am.
The remix?
Yeah, Scream and Shout. Yeah. It's like the same beat practically. But no, the Will I Am song is kind of funny. Like, it's funny because it sort of combines like that same type of like Will I Am dance pop production with some like 1920s horns. It's awful.
All right.
Mr. William I Am.
William I Am.
There's a terrible Fergie record on here.
No. Is Apple D Apple on this album too?
they threw him in the bushes. Like, I don't even know.
Him and what's the other guy's name? Like Johnny Two Times. What's his name? I'm sorry. I'm totally in like 1920s mode. My bad. That has nothing to do with Black Eyed Peas.
Oh my goodness, that's funny. Anyway, so there's some, you know, if you want to hear some angsty white people, like, you know, we're rich but we've got problems music, you know.
Angsty white people. Oh man.
So yeah, that's all I want to say about Great Gatsby. Okay. And of course, you know, no Church in the Wild's on this, but that's
played out.
At this point, my problem with it is I hear that and I just think of car commercials.
Like, totally think of car commercials.
I can't believe how much they've gotten out of that song.
That, and I mean, now it's, you know, now it's Macklemore Can't Hold Us.
Oh man.
When I think of Macklemore Can't Hold Us, now I think of like turning a computer on.
ESPN is gonna run that beat to the ground in terms of like background music for some like it's the perfect beat for that.
Yeah. Every time Nate Robinson makes a shot and they go to commercial, that's what they play.
You don't think the Heat are in trouble, right?
No.
I think that was actually the perfect thing to happen to the
Heat. That was the worst. That's just like I said when Chicago beat them and broke the streak. That was the worst thing that you could have done.
They just punched Miami in the mouth, and Miami's like, oh, so we got to play.
Yeah, because they really didn't play. Like, they really didn't play.
They were rusty. They didn't really give it all. I don't know what Dwayne Wade's doing with his life, but they're going to wake up now.
I would be very surprised if Chicago wins another game.
They might get one at home.
They might get one at home.
Especially, like, if they can get Dang back for, like, game four, I could see that.
Yeah, but it's not going. It's definitely not going seven. But
game two will be a statement game for LeBron.
It has to be.
It has to be.
Has to be. They cannot come out sluggish for game two. They have to come out and destroy. They need to destroy them by halftime. Like, they need to just kill them. Like, take all of the energy off of the bench.
Am I stupid? Or, I mean, considering what they have left in that team, shouldn't their first move be, we need to get we need to get your boy Noah in foul trouble immediately.
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 Yeah.
He is the heart and soul of that team.
But they're not. They're letting people beat up LeBron. LeBron is not getting called at all.
Nah, and he's sort of settling a little bit for that outside shot. They got to get him down. They got to figure out how to get him down low.
But I think that's why he's settling for the shot, is because he knows every time he drives. Like, this time last year, they were giving him everything.
Well, and part of the problem is, for whatever reason, Chicago gets a pass. Like, yeah. When Chicago beat them to beat the streak, they were basically that was like old, like, 90s Riley basketball.
Yeah.
Which you'll hear these announcers, like, sort of, you know, get all nostalgic about. But look, those 90s Riley teams almost killed the NBA. They were awful for the NBA.
Why?
Slowed the game down. It wasn't about, hey, this is bad. Like, basketball's supposed to be a little free-flowing. Like, defense, I get it. I'm a defensive guy, actually. But they really, like, slowed the game down. You got those, like, games in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
Some of those, like, Pacers-Knicks matchups from, the 2000s, some of those. And then later on, when he moved down to Miami, like, those Heat-Knicks matchups, they were just hard to watch.
Ugly. They were they're memorable for the Van Gundy fight and the rivalry and all that stuff, but
in terms of basketball,
ugly games.
That's all Chicago's got right now.
Yeah.
Right? They've got heart and they've got effort, and they're gonna try to drag Miami into the dirt.
I agree with that.
All right. Anything else you want to say about basketball before we lose half the audience?
I just shout out to Steph Curry. Shout out to the West. The West is wide open right now.
You think the West is wide open?
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if any of those teams ended up in the finals.
Warriors aren't ending up, but.
But I don't want to, you know. All right, yeah. What Curry did last night was incredible. Mark Jackson just has to, like, how many minutes? I think he played 54 minutes. Got to sit him down. Got to give him a break.
Yeah, you don't need him
that bad, especially when you're up 18. Sit him down.
Yeah.
When you're up 10, sit them down. Depending on how much time is left. But whatever. Let's move on.
All right. We can move on. So let's see, where's my notes at? So we talked Kanye, we talked Great Gatsby. Oh, my man Pusha.
Yeah.
He's doing a lot of talking right now.
A lot of talking.
He's got a release date.
July 16th.
I don't know what got him this release date. I'm not mad at it.
That was what I was going to ask you.
Numbers on the boards is still crazy.
Yep. Better than Open Letter.
Oh, yeah. Who's talking? Nobody's talking about Open Letter right now.
Nobody.
Rappers are spending their time doing 5 a.m. and Insert My City remixes. They're not doing...
Hey, shout out to Joel Ortiz. He destroyed 5 a.m. in Brooklyn. That's one of my favorite verses this year. He destroyed that.
Joel
can rap, bro.
You going to do 5 a.m. in Columbus?
Nah. Nope.
You didn't do a 5 a.m.? You could have done a 5 a.m. in Florida.
No. I ain't doing 5 a.m. nowhere. If I rap to anything, I've got a verse for Numbers on the Board. I don't know if I'm going to put it out or not. But it's
fair enough.
Yeah.
So he's also got already talking up his next album.
So rapperish. So
Hey, Roman, what do you got planned after Kairos?
Nothing. Nothing. I've got an idea of kind of what I want to do, but nothing. I'm chilling. This album took me a year to make. If you're asking me about another album like by July, nope.
So we assume that if he's got a release date, he's got a single.
Yes, that would be a correct assumption.
Here's why I'm getting confused. Well, maybe not. So I think this is kind of interesting. So Kanye looks like he might just come in and dominate the next couple months.
Right.
So they're going to try to have Pusha sort of ride off that Kanye hype?
I hope not.
Makes sense. I mean, if he has a big song with Pusha, that could work. No?
Speaking of which, I did not get a denial on the Gunplay rumor that I tweeted you yesterday.
I thought I saw that was fake.
I got a that wasn't supposed to get out. Because S1 definitely sent that tweet out. He just deleted it. So,
well, that's we'll interesting. See. That's interesting.
We'll see.
All right, so what else we want to talk about? Pusha. We don't need to talk at all about this Busta Pharrell song. That's terrible. Awful. Just awful. Speaking of release dates.
Oh, man. Yeah, release dates.
You mean Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
2020 Experience Part 2.
Part 2.
September 30th.
September 30th.
That's a really interesting date.
How so?
That's technically outside the fourth quarter.
I think he's good because that the first one is going to get him what he needs.
No, clearly he's proven that he can still sell a lot of records. But to me, what I think that time actually makes a ton of sense is because if the typical label move would be to drop a record that big later in the year.
Yeah.
But if he does this in September, what kind of, that means he has an opportunity to do all that kind of promotion again.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, like, so what does that mean for all the singles all the potential singles on the first one?
Well, what's the next single after Mirrors?
What's the next single after Mirrors?
Yeah.
I don't know. You said That Girl, right?
I thought that was an obvious choice.
Let me pull up, because I really haven't listened to this album since.
I think Strawberry Bubblegum, you know.
I still like that song, but I don't.
Uh-oh.
I'm pulling it. Oh, did I delete it off my phone? I guess so.
Wow.
Yeah, I really didn't listen to this album. I really didn't. Yeah, I guess so. Strawberry Bubblegum. What's the song after that? Nah, not Spaceship Coupe. That's not a single.
Tunnel Vision.
Tunnel Vision, maybe in 2008. 2006, that would have been a single, but nah, not now.
Yeah, I think that girl was, nah, that was kind of a...
That was like the buzz single, I guess. Excuse me.
Y'all right, man? You tired?
I'm very tired. I'm very tired.
Yeah, so, I mean, do you think that this is that it was really intended to be a two part album from the beginning, or was it is this leftovers?
I think it was intended to be two part from the beginning.
Okay.
I think if we think about this, allows I don't know. I think because to me this allows, if he puts out a 20 track album, this really hurts his show, because this, you know, as we talked about earlier, this is obviously a tour album.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
he can focus on performing half of the album and then still doing records off the previous two albums.
Yeah, I mean, am I crazy? I mean, wouldn't it make sense to drop this again early next year? You tour the whole year, take a little time off, you jump off again, do another big tour.
Yeah. Especially if this is tour centered, then yes, I agree. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they were thinking.
We need to talk about your girl Lauryn Hill.
Do we have to?
It's sad, man. That song is awful.
It doesn't bother me as much as it bothers everybody else.
Awful. Just awful.
The beat's not bad. The lyrics are not bad. She's doing the Jay Electronica Act One flow. She's not on beat. It's just weird. I don't know. Do you think she did that on purpose?
I don't pretend to know what she's doing anymore.
She came out and she said, you know, I my label forced me to put out an early, you know, put out this track, but you know, but that's under the assumption that the track is just that it's the track or it's the mix and not the song.
No, I think the song's just she's completely, I mean, for, I'm sure, you know, a variety of reasons, but she's completely not the artist that we all remember. She's so far removed from that. Like, I don't even, you know, I understand things happen, people change, whatever, but like, you know, we have a memory of Lauryn that is 15 years old.
Absolutely. And I'm the only person in America who liked Unplugged.
Oh my goodness. Around that time that she did Unplugged, she came to UConn. I didn't go to it, my wife did. From all accounts, it was a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, but that's been a pretty central theme of a lot of her shows over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
But that doesn't take away from that album being tough, though. That was tough, B. Anyway,
we got one thing we haven't talked about yet, and I guess this, believe it or not, this might be a short episode. This might finish off the episode. We got to talk about your man, Jermichael, Your Majesty, Jehoshaphat Cole.
Jermichael.
J. Cole's got an EP.
He does. Yours truly too. Now has he put out a release? Has he had his release date since we've had our show?
I don't know. What is the date? Is it
June 25th. Yeah, June. Isn't that the same day as Wale?
June's getting crowded.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me look this up. Hold on. One.
I mean, you notice they're all avoiding May 21st.
That's French Montana's date.
That's Kairos. They stay away from Kairos, man.
No, I'm saying they're staying away. They're staying away from June 25th. Yep. Yep. So yeah, J. Cole and Wale are coming out at the same time, same date. But yeah, they know about Kairos, and they know that, you know, French about to take over the streets as well. So,
So you listened to the EP?
Yes, I did. I only listened to it twice.
So we can go track. I mean, it's only like six tracks. We can go track by track.
All right.
Cole Summer.
I don't like this.
That's the surprise of the show. I literally wrote my notes. I know Armand loves the Lauren sample.
Nah, I had a beat made with this back in. I had Sandman who did Genesis Revelation. I had him make me this exact same beat in 2003.
Mm.
Like the exact same, same drums, sped up the same way, same tempo, all of that. Nah, I'm good. He lost me in the rap. It was just one long rap, and there was no change up, no anything. I'm not really big on like extra long verse J. Cole. I don't need 60 bars from J. Cole. I'm good with 32 at the most. 24 to 32 bar J. Cole, a really focused J. Cole, I'm good. 60 bars, mm-mm.
Who do we really want 60 bars from, though?
Joel Ortiz. There are a few artists who can pull those off very well. Joel, Budden, those artists who actually don't waste bars. There's very few, but, you know, very few people can pull off the 60 bars. But artists still do it. I mean, OJ the Juice Man just put out a song called No Hook. But it's crazy, though. No. Crazy. He still wears, like, the big denim shorts.
It's always going to be 2007 for him.
Always. The Jabode with the Velcro strap. Always. It's amazing.
Anyway. You know, I forgot to ask. What's the fashion down in Florida?
I was more so in a Spanish neighborhood. So okay. A lot of polos, a lot of striped polos, and a lot of white-rimmed glasses. Mm. Shades.
Okay.
A lot of those. A lot of Jordans.
Well, you know.
Bronze. Yeah.
Nothing out of the ordinary.
Nah, nothing out. It's not like it was when we were coming up where you would go to a different city and see like fashion just totally.
I think there's still I think there's still definitely some regional differences. A little bit.
I mean, not in a good way. Not in a good way. I mean, even when I go to New York, I was like, I mean, it wasn't anything crazy. It's just because the internet has just made everything smaller. You know, now we see things. We see, you know, fashion forward stuff all the time. You know, everything from ASOS, Everlane, even to, you know, Gap, H&M, stuff like that. Like, you know, it's not anything crazy out there. And especially now, the thing in style, like the style in fashion is having your own fashion. Like, you just do what you want to do. So as long as your clothes just aren't draping off your body.
Mm.
So it's just different. It's just different.
That's my line. Let's transition from fashion to talking about Kenny Lofton.
Back to hold on real quick. Before we go to Kenny Lofton, did you see T and Tamir tweet about J. Cole's record?
Let me start over. When would I ever see a tweet from T and Tamir?
I don't know, man.
We live in different worlds on Twitter.
I see. So he has the line in the song where he talks about sleeping with T and Tamir. I'm not going to go into everything else he says. So Tia tweets and Tia's like, hey, I don't follow Tia on Twitter. All right.
Lies.
Like, surprise. No.
My man's got his Twitterless game on lock.
Once a chick gets married or once she like starts doing reality TV, she falls off to me. I'm picky. I'm super picky. But yeah, she was like, hey, heard J. Cole wrote a song about us. Somebody send me a link. So then J. Cole retweets her and is like, no, don't do it. And then she just tweets, oh, Lord, like she heard it. Like, that's crazy.
I don't understand what.
You don't realize. I think that you don't realize the things that you say and just how small the world is nowadays. I can throw a rocket at you from Columbus and hit you in Connecticut. You know, people think that we really sit in a room and do this show together. They don't realize that we're in two totally different states and we've only met in person once.
Yeah, I should probably just take a picture. Like, it's literally, I got the Skype thing on one side. I got this mic hanging down in front of me. Like, I'm recording two channels at once. I'm recording my mic and what is coming out of Skype from Armand. That is how we record this show.
That's crazy.
Back to Kenny Lofton.
Yeah, Kenny Lofton.
This is the only reason I want to talk about this J. Cole record.
Why? Because the song's dope?
This record is crazy.
The record is dope.
Shout out to Kanaa Finch. Because
Kanaa Finch.
This Manhattan sample.
Woo! Manhattan's? Okay.
I had it. I was sitting on it. Of course, I immediately went digging through my other Manhattan stuff and started chopping samples and everything else. Here's what I don't get. Like, Jeezy's dope on this. This is the best J. Cole song I've heard in a while.
A while.
So they must have just not tried to clear this for the album.
Nah. Yeah, because this was obviously, you're not getting a Jeezy feature for a mixtape.
Yeah,
And then Manhattan's probably asked for like an arm and a leg.
People sampled that before. I don't know. That's not one of those things that you can't get sampled. Like, I don't know, like the Lauren sample, like you can kind of see where that might be a little tricky, but Manhattan's?
I think Lauren Hill would take whatever she could get.
You're right. She's trying to scrap together that last $30,000 to avoid jail time.
I thought she was done.
I thought she paid it back, but she was short like $30,000, right?
Was she? I thought she had to pay $970 and she got 3 months.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, Kenny Lofton's incredible. Chris Tucker and...
Nah, I'm good off Chris Tucker. Ain't 2 Chainz on this? 2 Chainz is... this is... And even though I said 2 Chainz has been kind of washed, his verse is kind of funny on here. But I'm good. I'm good off the song, though. I'm not really crazy about it. What else we got?
Cousins and... 3 Wishes, though. Jake won.
I don't even remember the song.
3 Wishes is dope. That's a nice beat from Jake One. But overall, I'm not mad at the CP. It's all right.
It's all right.
It's okay.
It's not depressing J. Cole.
You're right. It's not depressing J. Cole.
He's not depressed. Like the last tape that he did a few months ago. Yo.
So what are you expecting from J. Cole's album?
Nothing. Nothing. And I'm only saying that because I want this album to be good.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I'm not expecting anything because I expected something from Sideline Story.
You got Mr. Nice Watch.
Ice cold trash. Oh, Mr. Nice Watch. Why did you do that to me, Doc? Oh, that song was terrible.
Awful. Awful, awful, awful.
People
will defend that song too.
People are defending. Have you heard that? Have you seen that video of him making Power Trip?
No.
You should watch it because at the end he makes this video he makes this beat for Jay-Z, and like people are acting like that is like the most incredible beat ever. And this comes off really corny. Like, hey, I got a Brooklyn sample. I'm going to give this to Jay-Z. Like, nah. But I'm not expecting anything. I hope that this album is good. Power Trip is cool. Like, I won't seek out to listen to it. But if it's on the radio, I won't change the station.
I think that's a real good... I mean, the album comes out, what, in a month or so?
Yeah.
So this is a good single for now, but I don't know. You think... Is he gonna need something else?
No.
This is it.
Yeah, this is it.
Okay.
This is a hit. It's a hit.
Alright.
He's good.
I'm sure you know the does he have a J feature? Maybe? I don't know. I'm sure that'll leak out.
I hope that he doesn't want one at this point.
Oh. We'll see. I think Jay, I'm still holding out hope that Jay can scrap together an album's worth of good songs.
Yeah.
You no hope from you, huh?
I don't need... I guess maybe it's me, because I don't need a J. Cole and Jay-Z record.
I feel like the two of them could make a good record.
So, I mean, they never mind because you don't like Stars Born.
Ugh, I don't like that beat at all.
Oh man, now that song is gonna remind me of the freaking park. We're playing basketball and the guy comes up in like these white linen pants and hard bottom shoes blasting I Believe I Can Fly from his Jeep Cherokee, and then If I Could Turn Back the Hands of Time starts playing, and like right in the middle of the song it cuts off and it goes straight into Stars Born. Remember back in the Napster days where you get a half downloaded MP3 where you had to like make sure that before you downloaded the MP3 that the size of the file was a decent size. Like if it was between 4, 6, maybe 7 megabytes, you knew that it was a legit MP3. But if it was like, you know, Forgot About Dre remix and it was only like 600 kilobytes or something like that, then you knew it wasn't the whole song.
Yeah.
That's how it cut off.
I still check file sizes just because I want to see. I don't care about the downloading, whatever, but I want to see it because, you know, I want to get an idea of what kind of quality is it. Because I'm a nerd like that.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right, man. We got anything else we want to talk about this week?
I think we're good.
Wow. Are we doing anything special for the 100th episode, or what are we doing?
I mean, we threw around some ideas. You know, we had the idea of actually inviting some of our fans on who have been asking us since episode 1 to come on the show and just have them, you know, shoot the breeze with us for a little bit. We've also talked about potentially doing kind of like a recap of some of our favorite episodes from the previous 99. We could possibly do both. I don't know.
Yeah, we could maybe do that. Episode 100 will not be about Kairos.
No, 101 will, but not 100. We want to start the new year off right. Dude, 100 episodes. That's crazy.
Yeah, man. And I guess I missed 2 of them. Is that right?
Yeah, you missed the BET Awards. And
When I was on my honeymoon, I missed that one too.
Yeah. So yeah, you missed 2. All
right.
You got to do one without me, man. You got to do one.
No, nobody wants to get on the mic with me. Cause
you sound like a rapper when you said that, yo.
Nah, man. But
nobody wants to get on the mic with me.
I got bars, B. Bars. All right.
But you ain't got the skills to eat. Never mind.
We're layering inside jokes on old rapper jokes and everything else. So, thank you once again, everybody, for listening. ClockCreditSpeakers.com. Follow us both on Twitter. Follow the show at CRS Podcast, all one word. Make sure to rate and review us on iTunes. Every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 12 a.m., thepulseradio.com. I'm guessing we'll play a variety of who knows? He might just get on and play, crisscross for 2 hours.
I might have a little crisscross block. Because yeah. I downloaded the DJ Wonder mix that he did, and he didn't play, you got to play some Young, Rich, and Dangerous. You got to play the original, the album version of The Bomb. You got to play All Right. Like, you got to play Matt. Like, Crisscross had records, B.
Is Tonight's the Night? Is that the record I'm thinking of from that album?
From Young, Rich, and Dangerous, yeah. And it had Red Man on the remix.
I like that song, man.
Yep, the song was dope. Yep, it had the same sample as Please Listen to My Demo.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, that concludes this episode of Clock Radio Speakers. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll see y'all next week on episode 100.